news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
To that awful podcast. I am very sorry I missed you guys last week. Unfortunately, my kids were sick, and any of you that are parents out there know what it's like to have two sick kids at the same time. It just wasn't a pleasant experience. And of course, when one goes down to sleep, the other one gets up, and vice versa. So basically, I didn't have time to record for you guys, so I do want to apologize. I do thank you for coming back this week. Got some interesting things going on this week, I think. Although, some fairly interesting things. I'm actually going to start delving back into a little bit of sports. Something funny happened a little bit in football this week. People talking about whether or not it's time for Pete Rose to be accepted back into baseball. But first, some sad news. the Asistencia Asesoria y Administración wrestling promotion Friday night in Tijuana, Mexico, was struck by tragedy. Excuse me. Apparently, one of their luchadores, a very popular luchador wrestler, El Hijo de Pedro Aguayo, died after suffering an injury in a match against former wrestling superstar Rey Mysterio. When you read a lot of the headlines that were out there, it basically said, like, you know, Rey Mysterio kills El Hijo, and that wasn't the case. I watched the video, and it was just one of these most likely very freak things that happened. I mean, it was just, they were going through their progressions as they would, you know, in their script. For those of you who still think wrestling is real, sorry if I ruined it for you. By the way, Santa and the Easter Bunny aren't real either. But, I take nothing away from these guys' ability and the girls' ability too. I mean, they're amazing athletes. But according to Mike Coughlin of 4FW Online, El Hijo went limp while on the ropes in position to take Rey Mysterio's 619 finishing maneuver. It is unclear what caused the incident, but the 35-year-old star was treated by medical personnel before being transported to a hospital where he was ultimately pronounced dead. Now, apparently the state prosecutor's office is saying that they're looking into doing a possible manslaughter charge. And I don't know who would get charged with that. You really can't charge. I don't think you could charge Rey Mysterio with that. I mean, it wasn't, there was nothing intentional. I mean, the way the move looked, it was one of these moves where, you know, you throw the guy against the ropes and he kind of falls into the ropes and hanging off the middle rope. Seen it done millions of times. I mean, and I haven't watched wrestling, and I couldn't even tell you how long. But this was a very common maneuver back in the day when I was watching it. You know, keep in mind when I was watching it, The Undertaker was just starting out. So this isn't something that was very egregious. This is something that every wrestler does. I mean, some of them even do it multiple times in a match, for Christ's sake. So, I mean, as for what happened, there's still nothing but speculation. We don't know exactly what the cause of death was. Only an autopsy is going to reveal that. I mean, from what I was looking at, I mean, his head didn't snap awkwardly from what I saw in the video. I mean, the only thing I could think is maybe he just hit the rope wrong, and instead of hitting it with his upper chest, he hit it with his neck, and it just closed his windpipe. Maybe he had some unknown cardiac condition where his heart just said, "Yeah, I'm done for your life. Thank you very much. Drive through." If that sounds a little morbid and things like that, I do apologize, but that is my sense of humor. This has basically sent shockwaves through the wrestling world, including WWE. Pardon me. Including WWE, where a lot of wrestlers, of course, first place to go when you hear something is got to put it on Twitter. Wrestler PWI sent out our deepest condolences to the loved ones El Hijo de Pedro Aguayo, who reportedly passed away earlier this morning. Then Mike Tenay, he's the announcer for TNA, ironically enough, and apparently he's also a Lucha Libre expert. Absolutely stunned by the news of El Hijo de Pedro Aguayo's death last night in Tijuana. Supremely talented luchador and son of a legend. So now, this particular match was supposed to be a big celebration of sorts where Rey Mysterio was returning to AAA for the first time since 1997 after he parted ways with WWE. Now, El Hijo was one of the most decorated AAA stars in recent memory as he was a three-time Mexican National Tag Team Champion as well as a former Mexican National Light Heavyweight Champion and the Mexican National Atomicos Champion. Now, I watched this video because I am somewhat intrigued by death. It's a little odd, I know, but again, look at the field I'm in. I work EMS for a living. Podcasting is a little bit more than a hobby for me. It's also a passion. But I do have a very morbid sense of humor. So as soon as, and a very morbid curiosity at the same time. And I saw the headline, I read the story, and I saw a video pop up later on. And I watched it. And again, I saw nothing that would prompt me to think anything intentional happened. I honestly think this is either something to do with his health or just he just didn't land the move right. Which, let's face it, in a move like that, you don't necessarily, you kind of take for granted, especially with a wrestler who is 35 years old, has probably been doing this his whole life, and you take the move for granted because you've done it so often. Well, unfortunately, he made a slight mistake, possibly. Again, I can't say for sure. But, at one point in the video, you actually see Rey Mysterio stand there, kind of in the middle of the ring, off to the side a little bit, and go, "What the fuck happened? What the fuck happened?" You know, another wrestler was sitting there, because there were two other wrestlers in the ring. It was a tag team bout. Two other wrestlers in the ring, and they're just like, what's going on? Rey Mysterio did go to try to do the move. However, obviously went right over the guy. Didn't hit him or anything like that. You know, they're trying to keep up with this fight to try to detract from what's going on, even though now everybody's focusing on this. Some guy on the side of the ring, I wasn't sure if it was a manager or anything like that, tries pulling the guy, pulls him off the ropes, trying to check him. Now, here's the thing, and, you know, as an EMT, I do know some statistics for things like this, and with any kind of sudden cardiac arrest is what they call it, that's when your heart stops. You got to try to do something immediately. A witnessed arrest is always a more successful arrest, so to speak. So you got to start working the person right away. Based on the circumstances and just experience and things like that, chances are there was probably no getting this guy back. For it to happen suddenly like that and freakishly like that, there was probably no chance of getting this guy back. But again, you do make the attempt. You have to make the attempt, especially in a public forum like this. Now, my issue is, and I don't know protocols in Tijuana, Mexico, but nothing was done for this dude. I mean, based on the video I watched, they had somebody come over there and start to evaluate him. Put a If you're watching the video and you're wondering what that orange thing they put in his mouth was, that's called an OPA or an oral pharyngeal airway. EMTs put that in the person's mouth to keep the airway open so they can breathe for the patient, start doing rescue breathing. Hey, you did it. Good job. Unfortunately, you did nothing after that. From what I saw in the video, there was very little done to help him, and that to me is disturbing. At least some CPR would be in order there. Just saying. If you started doing CPR and just put him on an oxygen mask, I would have been kind of okay with it. But again, I look at things a little bit differently. Nothing was done to try to help this guy. They got him onto a stretcher. They carried him out. Nothing being done. They put him down in the hallway, put him on a backboard, put him on another stretcher. Still, nothing was being done. They threw him in the back of an ambulance. Still, nothing was being done. If this guy was going to have any kind of chance, he needed some sort of intervention. He needed CPR. Somebody needed to try to help this guy. So, I would. Of course, going back to the article when they're talking about making a manslaughter charge, I'm wondering if it's more against the organization than Rey Mysterio himself or any of the other wrestlers. Simply because of that reason, nothing was done. So, keep that in mind as you're following this story. It's going to be intriguing. I'm very intrigued to see what the actual cause of death was, but we'll try to keep an eye on that. Obviously, probably not gonna happen anytime soon. But from that, we're gonna move on to something a little more humorous. As soon as the article pops up, I'm sorry, for some reason my internet is slow tonight. It's making me quite angry. Sean Merriman. Everybody remembers Sean Merriman. He played with the Chargers for a while. He decided, with the NFL now, that they did this last year, they're doing it again this year. This is the second year of it. They're having a veteran combine. Basically, the players who have been with teams and things like that and have retired from the NFL, not necessarily retired, but they weren't able to sign on with a team. They still think they have what it takes. They have a veteran combine, which basically, you're going out and showing your skills off, So, Sean Merriman apparently wants to visit the NFL Combine, the Veteran Combine, and put out a little something on the Twitter. Now, this makes me laugh, but the quote from his Twitter is, "I've been constipating walking into the veteran combine with my shirt off and walking out, hashtag NFL." Sean, my man, you have not been constipating. You've been contemplating. I mean, this is funny. I laughed originally when I read the article and read the tweet and things like that. I found it was very funny. And I was happy to see that he actually had a very good sense of humor about it. Basically what he wanted to do is he was just going to show up shirtless to the NFL Combine, which by the time you hear this would have been yesterday. Saying that he's still in really good shape. Unfortunately, he did make that mistake and the words are just not Not interchangeable. All right. So apparently Paul Braverman decided to retweet Sean's comment and respond to him saying, "Do what now?" And then Sean Merriman just came back and said, autocorrect. So autocorrect is a wonderful thing. Sometimes, I hate it when it happens to me, but I laugh my ass off when it happens to other people like this, especially some guy who's talking like this. It makes me happy. Because it really does kind of take some steam out. Now, I do hope that if Sean Merriman does show up to the NFL Combine, somebody has some sort of laxative for him. Because to me, that's just the icing on the cake. He comes walking in, even if he comes in shirtless, he comes walking in topless. Somebody just sits there and goes, "Yo, lights out," which, by the way, was his nickname. Flips him some Ax-Lax, something like that. Hope that all works out for you, brother. But Sean Merriman comes back saying that constipating tweet has got to go on the best autocorrects of all time list. Again, it comes back again, getting my ball busted all morning. Excuse me, getting my balls busted this morning. How's your day? Then I don't know who this dude is, but Mike Endricass responds to him going, "Props to you for not deleting it though, and taking it like a man." And then Sean responds saying, "Come on, dude, it was awesome. If you can't laugh at yourself, then life must suck." Which I have to agree with him here. I mean, this is, it's innocent enough, and it's just freaking funny. His last tweet regarding it says, excuse me, "You know how you know you made it? Your autocorrects become news. Good stuff, LOL." So, I hope he is constipating going to the veteran combine. And again, I really hope, I mean, if it was me, if I was going into the veterans combine, even if I'm a coach that's going to check it out, see who's available and things like that, I probably have some Ax-Lax, and I try to do it in front of as many people as possible. Just hand them the Ax-Lax, and hopefully there's a video camera around to capture the whole thing, just because it's freaking funny, let's be honest. So we're going to move on to Sean Merriman, from Sean Merriman, to a very controversial baseball player. Pete Rose, also known as Charlie Hustle. Guy was an amazing player. Okay? And, he was nicknamed Charlie Hustle for a reason. The guy was just a straight-up baller. He was, he liked to get dirty. If I remember correctly, he was the last player manager ever in Major League Baseball, which was during the mid to late 80s that he was doing that. And if you don't know what a player manager is, he was both managing the team and playing in the game at the same time. And he was productive. So, if you don't remember, he was banned in 1989 from baseball for gambling, which included being banned from the Hall of Fame, which, based on his career, he was going to get in. He was absolutely going to make it into that Hall of Fame. But Pete Rose decided to petition the commissioner's office asking to be reinstated. So Pete Rose is now 73. Let's see, just looking at this. He played more games, 3,562, and got more hits, 4,256, than anyone else ever. His hit record stands to this day. Let's take a quick look here. He was apparently, I mean, this I didn't know about him, honestly. He was apparently pretty tough. He was never on the disabled list. Strike that. Rewind. Try it again. He was never on the disabled list until he was well into his 40s. He made 17 All-Star games at five different positions. He was the only player of his era to slide headfirst and to sprint to first base on walks. Baseball's moral pariah is, in certain respects, a moral paragon. he had a very serious gambling problem. He was betting on baseball, and he was betting on his own team. If he's not betting on his own team, he probably doesn't get as in much trouble as he did. Okay? He probably doesn't get the ban. But the issue is this. Anybody seen the movie 8 Men Out? Right. What was it about? About betting on the game, gambling on baseball, fixing the 1919 World Series. All right. What they call the Black Sox scandal. This was the Chicago White Sox in 1919, and all the guys were acquitted. But Commissioner Kennesaw Mountain Landis barred them for life anyway. Now, this goes back to the whole Shoeless Joe Jackson thing. You'll hear every now and again some of these guys brought up about getting them brought into, brought them back to the Hall of Fame. Well, not back into the Hall of Fame, but into the Hall of Fame in general. But we're going to read a little bit of baseball's rule here. Baseball's Rule 21D is clear that those who bet on their own games shall be declared permanently ineligible. Mr. Rose violated that rule, though it took him years to admit it. In 1989, he consented to a sort of plea bargain with Commissioner A. Bartlett Giamatti, accepting a ban while admitting no specific wrongdoing. So, yeah, he did never admit it, but at the same time, everybody knew. You know, yeah, I mean, I remember all this going down. I was like 13 years old when this all happened. You know, when you read the rule, yeah, Bart Giamatti, the baseball commissioner at the time, followed the rule explicitly. You can't blame him for that. But you're following the rule, but you're not following the rule's spirit. And, you know, the rule was put in to prevent cheating, not necessarily betting. Now, Pete Rose was not the type of guy to cheat. He had a bad gambling problem. We see that. But, you know, again, he worked too hard at a game that he truly loved to really cheat. He busted his ass every day, every game. Guy was never on the disabled list. So, Pete Rose has tried to appeal in the past, but when Bart Giamatti was in office, you know, he was very hostile at the first thought of Pete Rose appealing. A week after that, a week after announcing the sentence, Bart Giamatti died. So then the next commissioner, which came in, who I don't remember his name, and it's not in the article here that I could see immediately, you know, he honored the ban from baseball. Now, the ban from baseball is separate from the ban from the Hall of Fame, as in 1991, the Hall of Fame passed a rule barring Pete Rose from admission. Pete Rose did serve jail time for not paying taxes on his gambling winnings. All right. So, the guy was gambling, he didn't pay taxes on it, did some time, whatever. We look at what some of these players are doing now and former players are doing now. You know, You have players who are actively cheating in the game. Steroids, HGH, things of that nature. Performance-enhancing drugs. And these guys are getting a slap on the wrist, getting a suspension, and being permitted to play the game after they serve their suspension. They got a three-strike rule, essentially, especially in the NFL. Okay? In the NFL, what is it? It's a four-game ban, which is flexible. Then the second offense is a season ban, which, again, is flexible. And then a lifetime ban. Pete Rose didn't cheat. He bet. He gambled. You got to take this into consideration. All right. I mean, look at this. You have guys like Mark McGwire, who broke Pete Maris's, excuse me, Pete Maris's, Roger Maris's single season home run record. He's suspected of cheating. Barry Bonds set the all-time home run record. Technically. I don't consider it because steroids. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds are going to go into the Hall of Fame because I don't think they are. I really doubt it. Based on their accomplishments, yeah, probably. But I don't think it's going to happen. Pete Rose didn't do anything like that. He didn't cheat the game. He didn't bet against his own team and then go to his guys and say, hey, I need you guys to lose this one. And if he did, it was never proven. So now, where do you draw the line? I mean, as a Mets fan, this happened before I was born, but as a Mets fan, I have to have a little hatred for Pete Rose because there was a game where the Reds were playing the Mets and Pete Rose slid into second base, popped up, and beat the snot out of Bud Harrelson for no apparent reason. Bud Harrelson. I mean, if you guys don't know who Bud Harrelson was, Bud Harrelson was a shortstop for the Mets during the 60s and 70s. He was a small dude. Very small dude. Just annihilated him. But again, let's go back to this. Really, let's analyze it. I mean, we've discussed it and things like that, but I'm talking about what the baseball people decide. Whether or not he actually should be banned, I don't think the ban should be around any longer. I think they should lift it. If you want to keep him out of the game of baseball, I'm really kind of okay with that. He's 73 years old. Chances are he's not going to get back into the game of baseball at this age. I mean, hell, Jim Leland is the oldest manager, I think, in Major League Baseball, and he's not even 73 yet, or he might be right around there. But at least lift the ban from the Hall of Fame. The guy made tremendous accomplishments to the game, dedicated his life to it, absolutely deserves to be in there, okay? If the people in the Hall of Fame selection committee can't see that, if the people in the Hall of Fame can't see that and recognize that, then they're all foolish. Then they're all foolish. And from this point on, anybody who gets selected to the Hall of Fame should boycott it because they're the people running it are just stupid. All right. And just for the record, my mom does listen to the show, so I had to throw the thing about Bud Harrelson because my mother hates Pete Rose for that reason. But sorry, Mom. Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. No denying it. So, you've been listening to so far, we're about halfway through, to That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantentertainmentmedia.com. We're going to cut into a little bit of a break. I forgot to mention the networks at the beginning of the show. I do apologize. I was a little excited. So, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Howard Stern has a thing against podcasters. You believe that? Yeah, dude hasn't been relevant in how long? Just saying. That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantentertainmentmedia.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, Double E here to tell you that Rant Entertainment Media is bigger and better than ever with our huge lineup of original first-run programming. Things kick off on Monday at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney and That Awful Podcast. And at 11:15 p.m. following Monday Night Raw, join Lee and Rage live for Freaks and Effing Geeks. Then on Tuesday nights, join myself, Double A, and Tony C for the Mothership, The Rant, live at 8 p.m. Take a trip back in time on Wednesday nights with Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. Thursday nights bring you another doubleheader with the Rexplex hosted by Rex Watson at 7 p.m., followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. You can expect a new episode of the Lex Podcast every Friday hosted by Lexicon. Sit back late on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with William Morgan and the Wrestling Call-In Show live. And bring it back home at 5 p.m. on Sundays with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb live. And you can tune into any of these programs by just going to rantamradio.com. And don't forget to take us with you on the go by downloading the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device and simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. So don't miss out on anything we have to offer you each and every day. It's your one-stop source for endless opinions and quality entertainment, all right here at rantamradio.com. WrestleMania is the showcase of the immortals, and Rant Am Radio has you covered from top to bottom of the big event in Santa Clara, California. And here is a huge lineup of programming during our weekend marathon. And things kick off Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. with the Lex Podcast, The Road to Santa Clara. Lexicon will be talking about his preparations for going to WrestleMania. Following that at 9 p.m., it's Rant and Wrestling, the WrestleMania booking special. Then on Friday, March 27th at 9 p.m., it's Surfer's Fun Show Live. Following that at 12 midnight, Freaks and Effing Geeks Live with Lee Champion and Rage. Saturday, March 28th kicks things off at 1 p.m. with a replay of Rant and Wrestling from Thursday night. 5 p.m., we will have a special Rant Am Radio Roundtable Live talking about the legacy of Vince McMahon. Then at 11 p.m. or 12 midnight, depending on what time it goes off the air, we will have a WWE Hall of Fame post-show live. Then on March 29th, which is WrestleMania Sunday, we kick the day off at 8 a.m. with a replay of the Lex Podcast. Then at 10 a.m., Rex Watson brings you the Rexplex. Live at 12 noon, it's the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan. Following that at 2 p.m., it's Turnbuckle Throwbacks Live, and we round it off at 4 p.m. with The Rant Live. Then at 11 p.m., we will have a special two-hour WrestleMania post-show live right here on Rant Am Radio. Don't forget, the chat room will be open during the course of the entire marathon, and we'll be streaming match results on Facebook and Twitter at Rant Am Radio, and of course on the website, rantamradio.com. Lexicon will be providing us live reports from the site of WrestleMania beginning on Sunday afternoon, and he will also be giving us exclusive photos and videos later in the week. It's a weekend that you definitely do not want to miss out on, and it all kicks off Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m., all right here on Rant Am Radio. It's the biggest weekend in the year for Rant Entertainment Media, and we hope you'll join us for our entire weekend marathon coverage of WrestleMania 31.
All right, and we're back. That Awful Podcast, rantentertainmentmedia.com. More like radio.com. That was almost a full half hour's worth of sports. I haven't done that in a while. I missed that. But it is what it is. For those of you asking, just don't ask. It's better off. So as we were going in the break, I made mention of how Howard Stern apparently hasn't issue with podcasting and internet broadcasting. He doesn't understand why we do it. Excuse me. He doesn't understand why we do it. And apparently the quote was, podcasters are losers and no one is making money. He also claims that it's pathetic that we make pennies from Amazon clips. First off, sir, I don't make anything from this. I would certainly like to, but I don't. All right? As is the case with most podcasters, we don't make money. We don't make a lot of money. If we do, there are podcasters out there that are making money off of this, and they do all right for themselves. And you know, hey, God bless you. And you know, this doesn't really hurt me. All right, it doesn't really hurt me as a podcaster, as a person, because I don't care what Howard Stern has to say. Anybody who gets offended by anything this hack says needs to have themselves evaluated. You know, bottom line, Howard Stern has been phoning it in. He's definitely been phoning it in since he went over to SiriusXM. Okay? He has been doing nothing but phoning it in. Okay? I don't know what his schedule is now. I can only imagine he's probably doing fewer days than he was. But at one point he was doing 4 days a week, and he was off every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because you know he works so hard and needs a 3-day weekend. You know, and he would play replays every Friday. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you. You know, you have a loyal following. And even people that were loyal followers have fallen off the Howard Stern bandwagon. Rightfully so. Just because, again, he hasn't produced the quality that he once was. If you could even say that, really. Dude's like 62 years old. It's time for him to retire. It's been time for him to retire for quite some time now. He hasn't realized it. You know, he's still making the money. And I got to be honest with you. I think if Howard Stern left SiriusXM, the company might thrive a little bit. Because He takes a lot of their money, man. He has a giant payday from SiriusXM. He needs to, as my boy Phil would say, he needs to suck a bag of fried dicks. Now don't get me wrong, okay? When I went to college for broadcasting. Okay, I studied it. I wanted to be an on-air personality. And I wanted to be like Howard Stern. I wanted to be the next Howard Stern. This was back in 94, 95. Around the same time I discovered Opie and Anthony. Then, you know, Sex for Sam happened. But, you know, Howard Stern was the shit then. You know, he was still funny and things like that. And, you know, in my mind, like, what made me stop listening to Howard Stern was when he was going through his divorce, crying. Not necessarily literally, but crying on the air about it. Dude, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Make me laugh. Don't bring me down. Make me laugh. That's what I want. That's what I want from you. You know, and I had XM for a while, and you know, I listened to Opie and Anthony. This was before the merger, and I listened to Opie and Anthony, and they had me rolling. I loved Opie and Anthony, especially with Jim Norton and things like that. You know, because of Opie and Anthony, I got into some other comedians like Patrice O'Neill, and may he rest in peace, and you know, some others, but. Howard Stern never drew me into these other avenues to make me laugh, you know. But, yeah, I didn't want to be like him at one point. I think anybody who's gotten into broadcasting, especially people my age, will attribute getting wanting to be in the broadcasting because of guys like Howard Stern. But again, Howard, go fuck yourself. You're an idiot. Now, speaking of idiots, we're going to go over to Michigan. To be exact, we're going to go into St. Clair Shores, Michigan, where the police there say a group of five teenage girls swiped a tip jar at a Dairy Queen on Monday when the store was giving away free ice cream cones. So this past Monday, the 16th, was free cone day at Dairy Queen. Go in, you get a free cone, you walk out. Oh, happy day. But apparently these teenage girls decided that it wasn't enough. You know, getting free ice cream wasn't enough. Let's get some free money too. Now, again, we've discussed how social media is going to be the downfall of people. It's already the downfall of stupid people. So these girls go and pull this off. And listen, in a Dairy Queen, you're on camera. You're on camera. You're going to get caught. But you don't put it on Snapchat. You don't put it on Snapchat. You don't put it on Facebook, things like that. I mean, do you realize that you have family members on there? I mean, I guess being 38 as opposed to being 15, it's a little different. But, you know, I got my aunts on there, my uncles on there, some nieces, some nephews, some cousins, you know, good friends, people that know me forever. If I want to do something illegal, I'm not going to announce it to everybody. I'm not. It's stupid. You know, you think I want my mom to know that I did this? My mom would rat me out in a heartbeat. You know? Yeah, I'm her son. She loves me to death, but she doesn't want me to be stupid. You know? She doesn't want me to do stupid things. You know? But, so the five girls posted a video clip of themselves in a car waving what appears to be cash from the robbery to Snapchat. The caption says, "Robbed a Dairy Queen tip jar." And they went and sent it to all their friends. Now let me explain something to you. I don't care what people say. Alright? I'm your friend, I'm your friend, I'm your friend, I'm your friend till the end. I'll be there for you no matter what. There's always one. There's always one. And they will go and drop that dime on you. You know, this is why you keep shit to yourself. So apparently they got a quote from one of the police officers where it says, "I think they're stupid." I mean, really, who does that? They should be the dumbest criminals. Now, you know, in addition to the footage that the girls allegedly committed the robbery, cops may now have their hands on a confession. It's not clear if the police have located the young woman yet. Now, this was a few days ago. The person that made the quote earlier was the manager of the Dairy Queen. She doesn't want them to go to jail, but she wants them to learn a lesson. They shouldn't be doing things like that, she said. It's not how they should be growing up, obviously. There have been worse alleged crimes where Snapchat played a role. That's fantastic, blah, 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 blah. Stupidity, man. It's all stupidity. And teenagers, I am dreading the day my daughter becomes a teenager, because I know it's going to be nothing but drama-filled nonsense for the next 6, 7, 8 years, however long it lasts. But, I don't know. I mean, I only hope that I raise my children better than that, you know, because I got to be honest with you. If that was my kid, they'd be wishing they were in jail, because I would make their life a living hell. But that's just me. That's not what a lot of parents do nowadays. So, We're going to go on to a story that you've probably heard a couple of times already. This story, I wanted to do this last week, but again, the kids got sick, so I couldn't do it. So I'm going to talk about this because this story makes me proud. Okay? You talk to anybody close to me, they'll tell you flat out that I have a rotten colon. Okay? We're talking about the British Airways and the fact that one man turned a flight around and grounded it for 15 hours. 15 hours. Unbelievable. So, a British Airways flight was traveling to Dubai on Thursday night and instead returned to England when a smelly poo in the toilet made continuing to the final destination just untenable. So basically the it was announced by a British politician, Abhishek Sachdev, where he was on the flight apparently. His tweet is insane. A British Airways flight to Dubai returned back to Heathrow because of a smelly poo in the toilet. 15 hours until the next flight. So the decision to come back was made just about a half an hour into the 7 hour flight, where the pilot came over and said, "We're very sorry for the discomfort to our customer." Oh, British Airways. I thought this was a quote from the pilot. My apologies. British Airways said that they were very sorry for the discomfort to our customers. We provided them with a hotel accommodation and rescheduled the flight to depart the next day. Dude took a dump. Took a dump and they couldn't get rid of the smell. Now, I don't know about how many of you guys have flown. I haven't flown that much. But I made sure, yeah, I have a thing. It's a little weird. I like to poo on as many modes of transportation as I possibly can. And I've done it in cars, vans, planes, boats, a ferry. A little bit different than a regular boat. I haven't dumped on a ship yet. I'm waiting to do that. So I've covered a lot of different modes of transportation. Yeah, it's I know. I know. It's weird, all right? Don't judge me. It's just a thing that I want to do. Okay? I want to poo in as many different modes of transportation as possible before I die. It's my own bucket list. All right? And for the record, yes, I've shit in a bucket too. So the guy had such a rotten colon that he had to take care of business right then and there. A half an hour into the flight. So basically, you're now free to move about in the cabin announcement was just made. The seat belts were just taken off. Guy walks into the bathroom. I gotta take care of a little, some business here. You can't courtesy flush on a plane. I think if you courtesy flush on a plane, you will be sucked out. You'll be sucked right out, you're dead. If not sucked out, the vacuum that would be made as it sucked the poo out would actually stick you to the toilet to the point where you wouldn't be able to leave. But I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, hats off to this guy. I mean, I wasn't, and myself or nobody I cared about was affected negatively by this incident. So, all the more reason that it's, I find it amusing. But if I'm one of the people on that flight, I'm pissed. I am pissed. You have now delayed me 22 hours. All right? Because they came back. So actually, we'll add it. We'll say 23 hours. Okay? They came back. So the half hour in, half hour back. So basically, just took off the seat belts. Guy takes a dump, turns around, comes back because the smell was so atrocious. Land. disembark, find out you now have to wait 15 hours for a 7-hour flight. That's 22 hours these poor people have been delayed. All because of a dump. Now, I've done some horrific things. I've cleared the entire first floor of a house with a fart. I've cleared an entire floor. I've cleared almost an entire house with a dump. I mean, it dissipates after a while. My family comes from a great line of rotten colons. My father, and I'll never forget this, and I tell people about this all the time. My father cleared out a screen tent while we were camping during breakfast for 20 minutes. 20 minutes because he farted. He walked in, he farted. Of course, I'm the one to smell it. I looked up and I just saw my father look at me and start to giggle. And I said, Jesus Christ, Dad, you're freaking horrible. You know, because I was like 15, 16 at the time. If I would have cursed at him, he probably would have understood, but I would have been in trouble. So, I said, you're freaking horrible. And I walked out, and then my cousins caught it, and they walked out too. And we couldn't go back to breakfast for about 20 minutes. All right? So, the men in my family take great pride in our gas and the fumes that we emanate due because of it. So, I haven't really had a chance to talk to anybody in my family about this, but I'm sure that they would stand there with great pride, and I almost kind of wish it was us, one of us, just because. Absolutely fantastic. Smelly dump, grounds a plane, fucks everybody's up. Delays everybody 23 hours. God, I love that. All right, this is probably going to be the final story for the week. This was actually released on Tuesday, where a new study, the headline says, new study just dropped some truth bombs about the risks of watching porn, and men are going to be excited. Well, basically, the gist of the story is, porn is actually good for us. It's good for us. And now, I'm gonna read a little bit of the article, and I'm gonna question whether it's actual porn or, you know, the article, this was actually written, published on brobible.com, where it says, so watching porn is actually good for us. Validation, finally. Sorry, that was gratuitous, because they actually yelled out finally. I skipped that because I just didn't want to read it. All these years of hard work jerks haven't been for naught, friends. The results of a new study from scientists at the University of California are saying men who watch more porn have better sex lives. Why is that, you ask? Because dudes who fat to porn are less likely to suffer from erectile dysfunction and have higher sex drives. So, I mean, I guess the study was done with porn, where, just go into this a little bit. Researchers Nicole Prowse and James Prowse and Faust, recruited 280 men and asked them to meticulously record their porn viewing hours per week. The men, who were straight, white, and mostly in their 20s, were also asked to fill out questionnaires on their sexual desire and activity. The scientists found arousal rose to its highest level for men who watched more than 2 hours of porn per week. Who's got time to watch 2 hours of porn? I wish I did. I'm lucky I get in like 20 minutes a week. Yeah, don't judge me. It also increased the amount the men wanted to be with their partners. So that's a good thing for the wives. See, so if your husband's rubbing one out to some internet porn, it's mainly because, you know, you're either asleep, you don't want to wake you up, or, you know, you're not giving out, but we still want to bang you. So there's that. Those who watched no porn at all had an arousal score of just over 40, but those who watched porn, the score was more than 50. This pattern suggests that those who view more visual sexual stimuli, we now have an abbreviation, folks, VSS, are likely to have higher sexual drive. The scientist wrote in the Journal of Sexual Medicine. So, basically, watching porn is good. Drinking off the porn is good. Now, I always kind of, I didn't need validation for this, but, you know, I'm glad it's kind of there now, because now we can have a little documented thing we could throw into, throw out the wives and say, oh, look, here it is. It says it right here. It says it right here. Watching porn is good for us. Us. Always make it about us, guys. For those young guys who are just in a relationship, always make it about you and her. All right? Tell her flat out, it increases my sexual desire, and I want to be with you more than anybody else. Is it going to work? Probably not. You're probably going to get yelled at, but whatever. Just saying. You know, I'm at the point in my relationship where my wife doesn't care anymore. So, oh, good, you're watching porn? Good, less for me to do. All right. But, so yeah, man, I mean, again, 2 hours of porn. I guess at one point in my life I did watch that much porn, probably while I was in my 20s. But, definitely no time for that now. Too much risk of kids waking up and, you know, who wants to explain that? But we do have, now, guys, remember this term. Visual sexual stimuli, VSS. Remember that. Because now you're conducting an experiment. See? You're doing it all in the name of science. All in the name of science. So, with that being said, we're actually going to cut this off right about now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there every week. I do appreciate it. To everybody on More Like Radio and The Rant, thank you. Again, you guys have been great. I appreciate every single one of you. And, well, that's enough ass kissing. So, That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, Mondays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And then on Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And for all you wrestling fans, I'm basically the warm-up for Monday Night Raw on The Rant. So there's always that. Next week, the 30th, I will not be on Monday night on The Rant. I will be on my regular Monday night on More Like Radio. The Rant is doing a WrestleMania event where they're replaying a lot of stuff. And that's going to be going on all weekend through Monday for about 20 hours or so. So next week I will be on Tuesday on The Rant on March 31st. And then it's going to be in the same time slot, my 7 to 8 time slot. And then I'll be returning to Monday the following week there. So little programming update for you as far as Rant Entertainment Media is concerned. Always in my same spot on Mondays on More Like Radio, 4 to 5. So if you can't listen live, then always download the show, listen, critique. If you want to critique, you could throw it up on my Facebook page, That Awful Podcast on Facebook. You can throw it, send me some tweets at That Awful Podcast. No, you and awful. That Awful Podcast, AWFL. And then you can also email me, thatawfulpodcast@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, things you want me to talk about, send them my way, man. I don't discriminate. Hell, I could probably use the freaking help. I'm just too stubborn to ask for it. But that's neither here nor there. Again, thanks for listening. That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantentertainmentmedia.com. See you guys next week. I'm out of here.